Chapter 8. A Surprise Visitor. One day, Van Bell saw some pigeons resting on his window, and suddenly he had an idea. I know how to send a message to Rosa. Van Bell obsessed about this idea with all his passion. He wrote a note asking whoever found it to please deliver it to Rosa Grifus at Buitenhof Prison. He wrote a few words to Rosa, telling her that he was in Leverstein Prison. Then he stood by the window, waiting for the right moment to reach through the bars and catch a pigeon. But getting his hands through the bars quickly enough was almost impossible, and after several hours, his arms ached so much that he had to stop. The next day he tried again, without success. But he didn't give up and continued his attempts over the next few weeks. Then one day he caught a pigeon between his hands. He attached the letter to the pigeon's foot and then released it. For the next few days he was too excited to sleep. He stayed near the window all day, wondering if Rosa had already received his note. But a few days later, he saw the pigeon flying by with the note still attached to its foot. Van Bell was so disappointed that he lost all hope and sank into a depression. A week passed, and then one morning, he heard a familiar sweet voice talking to somebody outside his cell. Could it really be? Or was he imagining it? A few minutes later, as though by magic, Rosa came to his cell and, overcome with emotion, reached her hand through the bars to him. Van Bell grabbed her hand and cried, "Rosa, my angel, I can't believe you're here. How did you know where I was?" Rosa whispered, "Hush, my dear. My father will be here in a minute." She explained that she had talked to the guard at Buitenhof Prison, who had escorted Van Bell to his new prison, and he had told her where Van Bell was. After that, she had tried to arrange a transfer to this prison for herself and her father. "I told my father the air around Buitenhof Prison wasn't healthy for him. He's always coughing and often weak. This prison is in the countryside, and the air is cleaner. My father agreed to a change. He doesn't suspect anything," Rosa said, then stopped talking because suddenly Grifus appeared beside her. He was surprised to see Van Bell. "Oh, so this is where they sent you," he cried. "And I thought I was rid of you. The prince made a mistake letting you live." "A mistake? By not beheading me?" Van Bell exclaimed. "I'm an innocent man." "Of course you are," laughed Grifus. "Everybody in prison is innocent. At least the innocent De Witt brothers are quiet these days." "Shame on you," said Van Bell. "They were my uncles." "Yes, and you're just like them," Grifus responded. "So to the devil with you. I promise to make your life really hard." Just then, two pigeons landed near the window and cooed loudly. "Stupid birds, I'll break their necks," the jailer laughed. Grifus left to try and capture a pigeon. Van Bell reached through the bars to Rosa and grabbed her hand. She whispered, "Your bulbs are safe. I'll bring them at 9 o'clock this evening." After they left, Van Bell shooed the pigeons away. He didn't want to expose them to Grifus's cruelty. But Grifus's evil words couldn't remove the smile from Van Bell's face. Rosa's presence filled him with hope and joy. He waited impatiently for 9 o'clock. At 1 minute to nine, she came. "Dear Cornelius," she said softly, "I was thinking about you constantly since the trial and hoping the prison authorities would agree to us moving here. Now we can see each other every day." "How did you manage to come at this hour?" asked Van Bell. "It's a good time for us because the guards are off duty after dinner." "My father drinks gin with his dinner every evening, and he usually falls asleep by 9, said Rosa. "It's easy to come here once he's asleep." Van Bell asked impatiently, "Did you miss me, Rosa?" "I thought of nothing else," cried Rosa, her love replacing her modesty. As she said this, Rosa became so beautiful in Van Bell's eyes that he pressed his lips to the bars. Rosa's heart started to beat madly. She quickly changed the subject. "I brought your bulbs," she said, taking them from her pocket, still wrapped in the paper. "You keep them, Rosa," said Van Berle. "When the time is right, I'll plant one bulb in my cell after you bring me some soil. You must plant the second one in a garden and keep the third one in your room." "There's a nice garden behind the prison with trees," said Rosa. "Wonderful," Van Berle said happily. "Tomorrow, please bring me some soil from the shady part of the garden and some soil from the sunny part, so I can compare the quality of the dry and humid soil." They sat on the floor with the bars between them, talking for several hours. Van Berle gave Rosa instructions on how to prepare a flower bed and what to do with the soil. Rosa listened carefully because she cared, not for the tulips, but for the tulip lover. It was almost midnight when Rosa said reluctantly, "I must go now." From that day, Rosa visited Van Berle every evening around 9 o'clock. She brought him different types of soil and a bowl. Van Berle began to mix the soil carefully, making sure to leave no mess in his cell. Soon it was time to plant the first bulb. The next day, when Rosa arrived, she held out her hand through the bars, and in it were two bulbs. "Choose," she said. Van Berle chose the bigger bulb to plant in his bowl. When Rosa left that night, she held the other bulb close to her breast. The daily visits continued and were the highlight of Van Berle's long, boring days. Then one evening, Rosa was late. "My father's visitor kept him up late," she explained. "I thought he would never go."
"Visitor?" Van Berle asked. "What visitor?"
"Oh, a man called Mr. Jacob has been visiting my father a lot recently," Rosa explained. "My father likes him. He's very generous with gifts and brings him gin."
"How does he know your father?" asked Van Berle curiously.
"I don't know," said Rosa. "He first came to us at Buitenhof prison while you were there. Now we're here and he's here too. Maybe he's interested in me. Yesterday I went to work on the flower bed in the garden and he followed me there."
"Of course he's in love with you," cried Van Berle, suddenly insecure. "How could he not be? Do you like him too, Rosa?"
"Of course not. You know where my heart lies," Rosa answered shyly. Then she added playfully, "Although in your will you told me to marry a nice young man. So maybe I should let Jacob court me. Would that please you?"
"Rosa, that will was written for after my death. And thank God I'm still alive," said Van Berle.
"Very well then," said Rosa, smiling. "I won't look for a nice young man. I'll come and see you instead." Suddenly there was a sound from the stairs.
"Who's that? It can't be Father, he's asleep," Rosa whispered.
"And the guards never come here at this time.
Maybe it's Jacob looking for me. I must go before he finds out about us. Good night, my dear."
Rosa disappeared quickly, leaving Van Berle to dream about her. He didn't think about the noise they had heard. Sometimes fate gives us warnings, and if we ignore them, it can lead to catastrophe.